Okay, so we're going to start with the Amidah of Shabbos, the Shmoneh Esrei of Friday night. The shir is sponsored by Steve Maslin for his father-in-law's yahrzeit, which was last week, Tzvi Aaron ben Shmuel, and his mother's yahrzeit, which is tonight, Bela bas Shimon. And we say, Atakidashtas Yom HaShvi, L'shmecha, Tachlis, Masei Shmayim Va'aretz, that you have sanctified the seventh day to your name and the purpose of creation of heaven and earth. And Kiddashta, the sanctify, also connotes to designate and to separate. And the Maggid Tzedek says that since a double portion of Mon fell on Friday for Shabbos, so Shabbos therefore was separate from the rest of the week in the fact that the Mon did not fall on it. L'shmecha, for your name, the Maggid Tzedek tells us there also that the reason we stop working on Shabbos should be dafka totally for Hashem's sake, for His sake, and not because there's any personal benefit that we gain from it. And the Machz of Vitri just says that one should pause between the words L'shmecha and the word of Tachlis, so as not to imply that Hashem's name has a Tachlis, which in addition to purpose also connotes a finite and limited end. And we say V'rachto mikol yamim v'kidashto mikol hazmanim, that you blessed it over all days and sanctified it over all times. And how is Shabbos blessed over all the days and sanctified over all times? So as we said, since there was a double portion of Mon that fell on Friday. And then Itziv adds that if one wanted, he could save actually both of those portions for Shabbos due to the bracha of Shabbos. So not only could he save the Shabbos portion, but he could also save the Friday portion. How is the Kedusha and bracha of Shabbos different from that of the Yom Tovim? So the Rav Yehuda ben Yochar says that Hashem blessed and sanctified Shabbos directly, while Kedushas Yom Tov is conferred indirectly through our keeping of the Yom Tovim through Klal Yisrael. The Agudas Ezov says that Kedushas Shabbos emanates from Olam Haba, while Kedushas Yom Tov emanates from Olam Hazeh. And Rav Sajigon says that the Bracha and Kedusha is not of Shabbos itself, but rather it devolves on those who observe Shabbos. And that Ben Ezra explains this, that the guf receives greater strength, and the neshama receives greater understanding on Shabbos. And therefore, the bracha of increase and added intensity refers to Shabbos, and the fact that we refrain from creative activities represents therefore the Kedusha Shabbos. And the Rambam says similarly that this bracha is the mandate for us to bless and sanctify the Shabbos by ceasing from creative activity and enjoying it physically and spiritually. The Zohar tells us that the bracha of Shabbos and its Kedusha are manifest in the extra measure of neshama that we receive on Friday night, the extra measure of nefesh we receive on Shabbos morning, and the extra measure of ruach one receives at mincha. And then this paragraph ends, v'chein kosu b'sarasecha, and so it's written in your Torah, and we conclude Ata Kiddashta with these words and follow it with the parsha of Vayichulu. And the Rambam held that one would really only say two psukim from Vayichulu at this point. They would say the pasuk of Vayivarech Elokim and the pasuk of Kivoshavas, and not the entire parasha of Vayichulu. So the Gemara tells us that even a yochid who's davening Marv must recite the psukim of Vayichulu. And the Gemara brings Rav Amnuna, who says that whoever davens on the eve of Shabbos on Friday night and says Vayichulu is considered to have become a partner with a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the works of creation. As it says, the pasuk says Vayichulu. So the Gemara tells us, do not read it as Vayichulu, that meaning that they were finished, but Vayichalu, and they finished, which implies Hashem and his partner. Rabbi Lezer says, how do we know that speech is considered like an action? He says, as it says in Tehillim, with the word of Hashem, the heavens were made. And the Marsha explains that when one recites Vayichulu, he's testifying to the Ma'aseh Bereishis, to creation. And since creation was achieved with speech alone, one who testifies about creation through speech likewise becomes a partner in creation. And the Aruch Hayim asks the obvious question, how could one become a partner in an act that already has been completed? And he explains that the world was initially intended to exist only for 6 days. As the Pasuk tells us, Ki sheshes yamim asa Hashem es hashmayim v'sa'aretz. For 6 days did Hashem create heaven and earth. And the Pasuk, he says, does not say the world was created in 6 days, but rather it was created for 6 days. And Shabbos is the force that enables the world to exist another 6 days. And every Shabbos renews creation for another 6 days. But Shabbos only has this power if it is observed properly. And thus, those who observe Shabbos are in fact enabling the world to exist another 6 days. And therefore, one who davens properly at the start of Shabbos, reciting Vayichulu, and pledging his observance of Shabbos, is in fact now a partner with Hashem in this ongoing continuation of creation. So how does one become a partner in creation? So the Ion Yaakov explains that since the Gemara says one who recites Vayichulu on the eve of Shabbos, which means Erev Shabbos, it's referring to one who adds from the weekday onto Shabbos, even just a few minutes. So since speech is considered as action, by saying Vayichulu and accepting Shabbos early makes us partners with Hashem in completing creation. The Torah Shlema says that since the last act of creation was the creation of rest itself, therefore when one accepts upon himself the rest on Shabbos, he becomes a literal partner in the culmination of creation. And the Torah Tumima explains that when one admits that creation is completed, and Hashem created all that is needed and nothing is lacking in the world according to Hashem's plan, he accepts and supports Hashem's creation, and in this way is considered a partner in that creation. The Pri Yecheskel learns that when one says Vayichulu and mentally considers all his own work completed, and he does not think on Shabbos about his unfinished work from the previous week or about work yet to be done in the coming week, then he has literally completed the creation of his world in the microcosm. And in this way, he becomes a partner with Hashem, who likewise completed the universe in the macrocosm. And the Gemara tells us that Rav Chisda says in the name of Mar Ukva that whoever davens on Shabbos Eve and recites Vayichulu, two angels escort him and lay their hands on his head and say, V'sar avonecha uvechatoscha techupar, and your iniquity will be removed and your sin will be atoned. So the question is how does reciting Vayichulu result in our Averos being forgiven? And the Ben Yoyada explains that since when one says Vayichulu, he's giving testimony, he's saying Eidus. A Rasha, we know, is not valid to give testimony. And therefore, a person must have thoughts of tshuva before he's saying Vayichulu. The Ion Yaakov explains that if one sins against Hashem, the King of the Universe, we would believe that Hashem cannot forgive that sin, since it's an affront to his honor, and a king, we know, cannot be mochel his kavod. However, the Gemara says that Hashem is different from a human king. Since all belongs to him, he can disregard his honor if he so chooses. And therefore, one who testifies that Hashem created everything and that everything belongs to him enables Hashem to now forgive his sins. The Ion Yaakov gives another explanation and says at first glance it would seem logical that one should not honor Shabbos. After all, if not for Shabbos, more creations would have been created to benefit man and for man to enjoy. However, one who overlooks this fact and honors Shabbos is called Mavir al Midosav. He's yielding on his character traits, meaning that he does not insist on what is supposed to come to him. And Chazal tell us that whoever is Mavir al Midosav is forgiven for all of his averos. The Imre Amos learns that Hashem is forced to forgive us, as it is forbidden to have a partnership with a wicked person. And therefore, when we say Vayichulu, Hashem has to forgive us since we have become partners with him. Rav Hirschatz tells us that there are 5 words and 22 letters in the first pasuk of Vayichulu, and this corresponds to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah and to the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis that comprise the Torah. And this alludes to the fact that one who keeps the Shabbos is considered as if he kept the whole Torah. And conversely, one who desecrates the Shabbos, Chas Hashalom, desecrates the entire Torah. It also hints to the world itself being created with the Torah as its blueprint. So the 22 letters are the building blocks of the world. There are also 35 words in the parasha of Vayichulu. And since we say it twice, once in Shemona Esrei, and then some count the one after Shemona Esrei, while others count the one by Kiddush, it equals 70. Plus the 2 words of Zachar v'Shamar equals 72. And this hints to the 72 letters of Hashem's name with which he created the world. It also hints to the word Chesed, kindness, which also equals 72, and as we know, Olam Chesed Yibana, that Hashem created the world in order to do Chesed with us. And the Medrash Shachar Tov says that it's significant to say Vayichulu 3 times, as we do, as it says the word Asher 3 times in this parsha of Vayichulu. And Rav Zev Lef explains that perhaps the idea of the word Asher also, it means Osher, fortune. And Shabbos, as we know, is a triple fortune, because we have the Shabbos of creation, the Shabbos of Matan Torah, and the Shabbos of Olam Haba. Also, it corresponds to the 3 times that it says Asher in the first pasuk by Parah Aduma, signifying that just as Parah Aduma atones, so too Shabbos has the power to atone. So the parsha opens and says, "Vayichulu Hashemayim va'aretz achol tzva'am," and the heaven and the earth and all their hosts were completed. And Vayichulu has many meanings. It can mean finished, completed, perfected, that Hashem created the perfect world for man to reach perfection. It also comes from the word of kli, connoting that all the components of creation became kalim, became vessels and instruments for man to utilize in his avodas Hashem to earn his eternal reward. The Medrash says that it comes from the word of kli, of destruction, that by the time the first Shabbos came into the world was already destroyed by the sin of Adam and Chava. And we now wait for the Shabbos Shel Asad Lavo to restore it to its natural state. Shemayim Va'aretz, in addition to the simple meaning, the Zohar relates that it refers to Torah Shebiksav, which emanates from the heavens, and Torah Shebal Peh, which is expounded and developed by the Torah scholars, by Talmidei Chachamim, here on earth. Tzva'am, the Gemara tells us that the word Tzva'am implies that all of creation was created B'tzivyonam, in their completed forms. And Rashi explains that this means that every creation was created in its mature form. And this concept can be utilized as one of the ways to reconcile the fact that the world was created from nothing 5,775 years ago with the seeming scientific evidence that the universe is billions of years old. Had a scientist traveled back in time and met Adam and Chava on the sixth day of creation, he would have assumed that the world must be at least 20 years old, for they could not have developed in less time than that. We continue, Vayichal Elokim b'yom ha'shvi malachto asher asa, and Hashem completed on the seventh day the work that he had made. And Rav Zef Lev brings a famous question that we know Hashem did not complete his work on the seventh day, but on the sixth day. So why does this pasuk say that he completed it on the seventh? And based on this question, when the Torah was translated into Greek for Talmi, the 72 Chachamim changed it to read, and Hashem completed his work on the sixth day, and rested on the seventh day. So the Ibn Ezra gives a possible explanation that Bayom HaShvi doesn't mean on the seventh day, but rather before the seventh day, that the work was completed immediately prior to the onset of Shabbos. Rashi learns that Hashem's resting on Shabbos itself was what completed creation, for the world was missing rest up until that point. And Vayichal means that Hashem ceased from being creative on the seventh day. And he actively rested on that day, as it says, Vayishbos b'yom ha'shvi mikol malachto asher asa, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he did. Rabbi Eliezer of Worms says that Menucha of Shabbos enhances and gives Kedusha and perfection to all the 6 days, and hence therefore the completion of creation was Shabbos itself. Rashi gives another answer from the Medrash that Hashem completed creation at the exact moment that divided the sixth and seventh days. But because to us human beings it appeared that it was already Shabbos, it was already the seventh day, the Torah recorded it the way we see it. And the Bach tells us that Vayichal really does not mean to finish, but rather to desire. And what the Pasuk is saying is that Hashem desired the seventh day more than all the work he had made on the prior six. And Hashem blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. And Rashi tells us, as we said in the bracha of Atakidashta, that Hashem blessed the seventh day by providing the extra mun on Friday for Shabbos. And he sanctified it that no mun fell on Shabbos. And this is based on the idea that bracha connotes increase and addition, as the word brecha as a spring, which constantly flows from its source, ever increasing and adding, while Kedusha is associated with the abstinence from the physical. The Imri Noam says that the brachas inherent in Shabbos is manifest in the day that that one does not lose out from his non-pursuit of material sustenance on Shabbos, as the Gemara tells us that one does not lose out from the expenses of Shabbos, for they are repaid from Shemayim. And the Medrash tells us that the bracha manifests itself the taste of the food that we eat. As we know the story, and I believe it was with Antoninus and Rebbe, that Antoninus came to visit Rebbe on Shabbos, and he ate from his Shabbos food. And when he went back to his palace, he ordered his cook to cook the same dishes, but they just didn't taste right. And he went back to Rebbe and asked him, why? Why is it different? And Rebbe told him, because there's one ingredient that's called Shabbos that he cannot replicate. By Yom HaShvi, the phrase Yom HaShvi is mentioned 3 times in this parsha, again hinting to the 3 special Shabbosos, the Shabbos of creation, Shabbos of Matan Torah, and Shabbos Shel Asad Lavo. And Rabbeinu Ephraim points out that the final letters of the words Hashvi Vayikadesh Oso spells Yeshu. And Yeshu went ahead and changed Shabbos to Sunday. But we see from here the Torah tells us that Shabbos is supposed to be the seventh day, and that's the day that was sanctified and not the first day. Kivo Shovas Mikol Malachto Shebor Lekim Lasos, for on it he concluded all of his work, which Hashem had created to do. And this phrase seems to repeat what we already said, that we said on Shabbos Hashem finished all of his work, and the Medrash tells us that the phrase Kol Malachto refers to the work that could have been left for Shabbos, but was done on the sixth day instead. As if we look into creation, we'll see that there were three things created on every day of creation, while there were six things that were created on Friday. What does the word lasos mean? Couldn't we have just ended this parasha saying Ashibara Elokim? And the Shlach Kodesh says it refers to the ongoing creation, in which Hashem renews creation daily. All creation depends continuously on Hashem's will for its existence. Every second, Hashem continues to will creation to remain in existence, and therefore creation is an ongoing process. The Rekeach tells us lasos is completion and perfection, that Hashem not only created, but also finished off each creation with perfection. And the Chasam Sofer compares creation of the world to the construction of a clock. It says, once it's finished and completed, it begins to perform its ongoing function. And so too Hashem completed creation, lasos, so that it should begin to function. And Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch says that the world was created for man to sanctify it. And the word lasos indicates that the righteous and the wicked continue to develop the world positively, or chas v'shalom negatively. And Rav Elimeir Bloch says similarly that lasos means that Hashem created the world with its raw potential state, so that man should continue the process and perfect this world to bring it to its ultimate potential. So as we cite Vayichulu, we are reminded of our mandate to sanctify the world in the service of Hashem, and not chas v'shalom, the opposite. And to close with the story, the homework, so again, it's an email. So when we daven, we have to realize that Hashem can do anything, and there's no obstacles that are too hard to overcome. Sometimes we begin to lose hope, and we're willing to settle, making only a modest request. If someone has a problem with his vision, which the doctor cannot solve, he must daven to Hashem that not just that it should not get worse, but that it should even get better. And we should never settle for anything less than the best. We should always daven for complete recovery, because if we truly believe in Hashem's unlimited abilities and boundless compassion, we would never lose hope. Even harsh decrees that Hashem issued can be overturned through tefillah. Rav Nochum Hordanko, who's a student of the Baal Shem Tov, was once shown in his dream that his wife would die after giving birth to their first child, and he therefore decided they should not have children. But his wife insisted, "We have to do what we're supposed to do, and whatever happens after that is Hashem's business." And sure enough, she had a baby and immediately fell gravely ill. And she was so frail that she cannot even nurse the infant. And she looked at the infant and felt so pained by the situation. And she cried from the bottom of her heart and pleaded with Hashem to give her the strength to feed the baby until he's 2 years old. She prayed with overflowing emotion, and her prayers were answered. She quickly recovered and was able to feed and properly care for the infant. When she told her husband about her tefillos and how they were answered, he said to her, "Your tefillos were so precious at that moment. Why did you only daven for 2 years? You should have davened for 70 years. And unfortunately, the woman passed away 2 years later, and her son became the father of Rav Nachman of Breslov. We should never settle when we daven. Decrees can be changed, even if Hashem is able to work everything out. We have no need to worry. Even if a problem seems intractable, Hashem can figure it out. The Medrash tells us that after Adam Arishon sinned, he did tshuva, and his decree was annulled, and the death sentence against him was delayed for 1,000 years. And Rav Yamnik notes that at first glance, it does not appear as the decree was delayed. Hashem warned Adam that if he ate from the tree, he would die that day. And Chazal teach us that from Hashem's perspective, a day equals 1,000 years. So seemingly, Adam's punishment was exactly what it was supposed to be from the onset, death after 1,000 years. So what did Adam achieve through doing tshuva? And the Rav answered and says that really, in the beginning, in creation, a day was supposed to be a day. But in response to Adam's tshuva, Hashem changed the definition of a day to 1,000 years. And it's not our job to figure out how things will work out. Hashem is very capable. He has a way of helping us even after the decree has been issued. When a young child wants something, he does not start thinking about its cost and its family's financial situation. He knows he wants it, and so he goes over to his father and asks and continues asking. He leaves it to his father to figure out the logistics of how he will get what he wants. We are Hashem's little children. When we need something, we have to cry to him and trust that he can figure out a way to give it to us. And when it comes to the important matters, we should never settle. We can and must ask for the best. There was once a poverty-stricken orphan girl in Lithuania who was watching all her friends get married one by one and building their families. And her dream was to marry a Talmud Chacham, but although she had a job, it really didn't pay much, and she had no money to support her husband. It was difficult to even get a date. Despite it all, she never gave up her dream of marrying a Talmud Chacham. One day, she was overcome by emotion, and she decided to write a letter to Hashem. And she wrote down all her feelings, describing how painful it was watching her friends getting married, and describing precisely the kind of boy she wanted, a Talmud Chacham with fine midos, who's prepared to live without much money. And she concluded her letter by writing, "Hashem, you're the one who supports the poor and lifts the downtrodden. I put all my faith in you," signed Shane and Miriam. She placed the letter in an envelope and wrote on it, "La'avi sheba shemayim," to my father in heaven. And she went to the forest and threw the envelope into the wind. Not long afterward, a student from the Meir Yeshiva named Yitzhak Yechiel Davidowitz went outside to think about the material he was studying at the time. He was in the woods and saw on the ground an envelope that said La'avi sheba shemayim. Overcome by intrigue, he opened it and read the letter. He read it over several times and decided he wanted to marry this girl. The boy found out who the girl was, and they got married, even though she was 6 years older than him. Because age does not matter, what matters is who the person is. This young man went on to become the great Rebbe and served as the Mashkiach in the Yeshiva of Minsk. And his Talmidim included Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Yaakov Ruderman, and Rav Avram Kamenovich. This woman got the Talmud Chacham she wanted. When it comes to religious matters, health, and other matters of great importance, we should always ask for the very best and never settle on anything less. And obviously the homework is when we come next Friday night to think about what the bracha, what was saying in the bracha of Shemoneh Esrei in the paragraph of Atakidashta and in the paragraph of Vayechulu.